Raised on D&D Podcast helps to enrich your family's gaming experience by bringing you interviews with parents, educators, game designers, and influencers. Join us as we delve into the many ways that tabletop role-playing games inspire creativity, develop communication skills, and create long-lasting bonds among players. Your host has been an avid gamer since childhood, and now his kids are being raised on D&D. Here is your host, Nick Cardarelli.
Welcome back, gamers. I'm your host, Nick Cardarelli, and this is Raised on D&D. My next guest is from St. George, Utah. She focuses on making short, concise videos and posts to help anyone learn how to play D&D. She also likes to research and answer the technical questions more experienced players ask. She has just finished up a new playlist on TikTok and Instagram going over the D&D 5e races. Next, she'll start a new series on how she uses pre-written D&D modules when DMing her home games. You know her on D&D TikTok as D&D Family. Please welcome Haley Kennedy. Hi, Haley.
Hey. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. I'm so excited about what you've got, all that content on TikTok and Instagram. The videos are amazing, and we're going to get into all of that in just a second. But before we do, can you take us back to your very first experience with tabletop role-playing games, where your love for Dungeons & Dragons began?
Oh, man. Well, I guess my very first experience would be myself, my husband, and one of our couple friends. We had all bought the D&D starter kit, Lost Mine of Sandelver, and I was elected DM. And so my very first memory was reading through the module and not feeling like I was ready. And then we jumped into our first session, and it was, looking back, very, very different than how I play games now, but it was amazing to just get started and jump in. And it was very fun and magical. And we were hooked after that first session. So
that is fantastic. So you are kind of new to Dungeons and Dragons. How long ago was this?
We started, that was in the beginning of 2019. So We're still pretty new to D&D compared to many in the D&D community, but we eat and drink and breathe and sleep D&D all the time. So we've learned a lot.
That is incredible. Well, I tell you what, I've learned a lot from you, Haley. I love the TikTok videos. I love how you go through different parts of the game. So Haley, where did you and your husband come up with the idea that you wanted to just try Dungeons and Dragons? I mean, were you guys like watching Critical Role? Were you all, did you always want to play Dungeons and Dragons? This was finally your chance with the starter box. How did this topic come up?
So it actually, for, I believe our first exposure was through coworkers.
Okay.
I worked at an escape room. And so kind of in the puzzle immersive vibe. And I had two separate coworkers who were talking about their D&D game. And I'd kind of heard about it from, you know, mainstream, like TV shows, whatnot. And I said, oh, so you guys play the same game? And they said, well, we do, but we don't. And I said, what does that even mean? And so they were explaining the idea that they were in different campaigns. And I said, how can you be playing the same game, but you're not playing the same game? It was blowing my mind. And so they were trying to describe it to me, and I kind of got it, and it just seemed abstract and bizarre. And so I went home, and my husband and I started looking into it. And then I think we watched, it might have been an episode of Stranger Things, where they're playing it, and some of the things I'd been researching were kind of starting to click. So we ended up buying the starter kit because we wanted to figure out what this game was. So that's kind of where it started, was hearing about it from people who played and loved it. And my brain, the way I think, I had to figure out the game. But then as soon as we got the starter kit, realized, oh my goodness, there's so many ways to play. There's so many ways to interpret. So it's lots of rabbit holes we've been down. But
that's That's amazing. I love how the story starts with these two coworkers who are really trying their best to explain it. And just, you know, it's just not coming together for you. And then you're able to like, you just, that curiosity about it just would not let go. I think that is amazing. Following you on TikTok, you just made an announcement recently that you and your husband are about to become a trio. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. I am. Well, currently in 2022, December 2022, 5.5 months pregnant. So that is pretty exciting.
Congratulations. Congratulations. And is this going to be your first?
Yes, this will be our first. So we are already planning their introduction to D&D. We hope that they will be an aficionado by the time they're, you know, can speak.
That is great. So congratulations on that. That is so wonderful to hear. With me and my wife, we have been gaming for a very long time. It's been over 30 years of gaming for me, playing Dungeons and Dragons. And
so fun.
It's so much fun. And our children, they're now 16, 15, and 14. So they're little stair steps. And we started them on tabletop role-playing games when they were around, I think they were like two and a half, right? So you can start them real early. And now there are all kinds of great games for younger children starting out. And one of the resources that I always recommend to parent gamers is Stephanie Campbell's a good friend of mine, and she runs ttrpgkids.com. And it is like the hub of all things family and gaming. If you go there, she has reviews on games. She has links to where they you can find them. And now she makes her own games as well. Inexpensive, downloadable, all kinds of stuff. So it's really, really awesome. It's a huge resource. I always direct people to. So that's fantastic. So
that's perfect.
Oh yeah, you're definitely going to need it. I use it. I love it. So how did we go from, oh my gosh, I love everything about this, to we need to start a TikTok account and teach people about D&D? What inspired that idea?
So let me think. I think it was pretty much when COVID hit, right? And TikTok kind of took off. We've been playing for a year and a couple months. We had just shifted gears and started a new campaign. My first official big campaign that I ran, Storm King Thunder, which I love. And there was some, at the time I was making my own DM screens, just kind of out of duct tape and art canvas. And I wanted to remind myself how I made these. And so I thought, I'll just make some TikToks. Maybe people would be interested. Cheap, easy way to have a DM screen. So I started making that, and then the idea of sketches or showcasing your stuff kind of started getting popular. So I thought, oh, I'll show my little dice collection. I'll show my little stuff I use. I'll show setting up a session. So it really was kind of more almost me trying to remember moments and create these cinematic moments, kind of similar to D&D games. When you're running a game and you're portraying this amazing moment, I thought, oh, I'll just kind of do a memory bank for me. But then more and more people started following and watching, and a lot of family and friends were saying, well, what is D&D? How do you play? And so I started making videos explaining the basics of this is what it is. This is a TTRPG, because before D&D, I've never heard of that. And so just basically, it just started off answering family and friends' questions through TikTok. And then more people started asking questions, and then people suggested things like, hey, could you go over this? Hey, what do you think about this? And I thought, I'm new to this. I don't know, but I had the books. I could figure it out. So basically, it kind of went from me documenting what I was doing for D&D into figuring out how to play, how to describe to people how to play. Because kind of going back to my coworkers, right? They were trying to explain to me how to play, and it was not clicking. And so I thought, okay, I really want D&D or TTRPGs in general to have a good first impression. So how could I concisely elevator pitch any idea? So that's kind of where the inspiration came to start making these small videos, was someone just needs a very quick, you know, elevator pitch of this idea. Could I do that? And I've just still been doing it. So
I think it's terrific. And I think also it's funny that people are like, you know, you're saying family and friends were asking questions. And so I just started making these videos. Well, I was amazed to see today that going from family and friends watching Haley's TikToks to now, how many followers do you have on D&D TikTok now?
Yeah, as of today, it was 36,000, which I can't believe that. That is semi-terrifying, but also a little bit of a confidence boost, I guess. I think I might know what I'm talking about sometimes, but...
I can't speak for all 36,000 followers, but I can tell you this. I think that your short little videos that explain the things about Dungeons and Dragons, you go over rules, you go over classes, you go over races. Now you're going into the modules themselves, breaking them down for people. What I've noticed, especially since I have teenagers, is they don't want to be handed a module and said, read this. They don't want that. But if I can scroll through your videos and say, hey, this is the one where Haley talks about barbarians, let me click on this. And, you know, it gives a basic overview and say, hey, if you want to play a barbarian, listen to Haley. She'll tell you what barbarians are all about. And I think that's really great. I think it's an awesome resource, not only for new players, but I think it's a great resource, like you said, for players who maybe they have a hard time explaining the concepts. I've been gaming, like I said, for 3 decades. So when you say things like character class and alignment and barbarian and D20, and you say these things to me, there's no confusion. There's no like, what are we even talking about here? So when you're to that point, sometimes it's difficult to translate it for new people, right? So I think that is one of the biggest appeals, is what a great resource, what an easy resource it is to have you help us through some of those concepts and ideas. So I think that is just phenomenal. And I think what's great is you saw a need that you had, and then friends and family asked, hey, can you provide us with this? And then before you know it, 36,000 followers as of this recording. So that's amazing. Just amazing.
Thank you. That's super nice.
Well, I was super excited for you. You have moved into going over the modules. And one video in particular that I liked recently was someone asked you about home brewing and how you didn't very much care for it. You liked Canon, you liked the published modules, that sort of thing. And I think that's really great, because a lot of the new players, that's what they're looking for. Is this official Dungeons and Dragons? Is this an official adventure, right? And when you go through a published module, we can share that story together, because your table runs it, my table runs it, and then we meet up somewhere and we're like, oh, we've been in that campaign, we've done that. How did you guys handle this situation? We handled it this way. And so I think that's amazing. What has been for you the most surprising kind of revelation about tabletop role-playing games and Dungeons and Dragons that you've just one of these aha moments that you've had in your research and doing these videos?
That's a good question. I think the main thing that I've learned is Dungeons and Dragons is a very flexible game, in the sense of, yes, there are the rules. There is the rule book, the vast rule book. There is, you know, worlds that you can explore, like Faerun, the established world. That's the current, Faerun is the current world we all run around in with Wizards of the Coast. But honestly, when it comes to you and your table, the game is absolutely flexible. If you don't like a rule and you none of you like it, throw it out. If you don't like certain, I don't know, classes or abilities, you can change that. If you are running a pre-written module and there's a part that doesn't make sense or doesn't fit or you don't like, change it, throw it out. So I think for me, when I first started, I am a perfectionistic, I always am the one reading the rules to any game and mitigating the rules. So Dungeon Master came very naturally. But that's been the biggest lesson I've learned, is flexibility and creativity is okay. And while it's good to go over the rules and to learn, like different editions of how to play, how things are portrayed, you don't have to follow them. So even though I advocate for rules and I like the written stuff, homebrew is great. And every table does something a little different. And that's going back to my coworkers, right? That's what makes it so magical, is one table could run a game completely different than another table, in a sense, but you're still experiencing the magic of D&D. It's an interesting concept of D&D is a very complicated game of rules, but you could also choose what you want to do. <laughs> You know? <laughs> So it's kind of, but I think that's what makes it, that's been my biggest rule. And honestly, like flexibility, improvisation, my goodness. You have to be flexible and improvise as a DM. And that was very hard for me to learn how to do. So the overall word would be flexibility. The biggest lesson you can learn, and you just kind of learn to run with it. It makes it much more fun.
That's great. And when you're gaming with children, it's so much more difficult. Like, adults kind of have like a concept of, oh, we're supposed to follow these breadcrumbs this way, where children will get fascinated about something that, is decorative, it's window dressing, it's just descriptive. And then they'll latch on to that. And then as the dungeon master, you have to go, okay, well, that's not the story, but now they, as the players, are making it all about that.
Yeah, now it is the story.
Now it is the story. So you're absolutely right with that. How many of these published modules have you ran now?
So I've ran Lost Mine the Fandelver a few times. Mm-hmm. I've ran part of one of the new starter kits, Dragon of Icespire Peak. Not the full adventure, but I've kind of taken some of the adventures. I've ran Storm King Thunder. Okay. And then I've ran quite a few adventures from Tales of the Yawning Portal and Candlekeep Mysteries. And then I'm currently in the middle of a campaign that I'm drawing heavily from Ghosts of Saltmarsh. Mm-hmm. I think those are the published ones I've ran so far. I have more, but it takes time to get through them.
Yes, it sure does. And which one of those so far has been your absolute favorite?
I think for me, it probably has been Storm King Thunder, which, when I first was trying to pick an adventure, because this was my first big campaign, and so I did a lot of research with a lot of the different modules, and I liked the biggest critique I saw was, it's such a big open world. That's exactly why I picked it, actually. I wanted to explore Faerûn. And I also, this module was what brought together our core beginnings of our D&D family. So our current D&D group, it's kind of our origin story. We had a brand new group. Hardly any of us knew each other, and the game ran for a year and a half. And so it basically was, I'm learning how to be a DM. We're learning how to play the game. By the end of the campaign, it was like, we felt like just close as friends, and our characters were close. It was epic and fought amazing creatures. So just for the sense, I think, more of emotionality and the friends that were made, it would be Storm King Thunder for me. And the adventure is great. There's just amazing things to fight, and It was so fun. We loved it.
That is incredible. When we talk about the bonds that are forged at the game table, where you become like battle buddies, it's years and years later, it'll always be remember that one time with the troll. You know, it's all fresh and new all those years later. In fact, one of the reasons why my wife and I were so excited to start playing Dungeons and Dragons with our children was because we knew that those bonds that are forged among sometimes strangers who only meet for a weekend at a convention are so strong that they can make friendships that could last. What is the next step for you and D&D family?
Oh man, you know, part of it kind of happened actually in September. I was able to run some games at FanX in Salt Lake.
Okay.
So I worked with a charity, the Foundation for the Prevention of Violence, and they reached out to me through TikTok and asked if I would help run games at FanX at the comic convention, right? And so that was a big step for me, going from the security of my home and my friends, and I could be dorky and it's fine, to being very public and literally meeting people, and the table meets for the first time and we play this game for an hour and then that's it. So that was kind of a Kickstarter for, oh, maybe I'm doing okay if people think I'm doing okay enough to come and, you know, run games for people. I think for now, especially, you know, where we have our first child coming, we may not be doing anything crazy anytime soon, but I do like the idea of maybe in the future, if people wanted to play games online, I've thought about that. We have here in St. George, there's two different game stores, and I talked to one of them about maybe helping run games there. So maybe just the goal, the focus being reaching out a little bit more to the community rather than keeping my focus on, you know, me and my friends and my safe zone, kind of branching out a little bit, doing something a little bit scary maybe at first. But yeah, other than that, for now, it'd still be our home games are, you know, that's our heart. So we always put that first. But then, yeah, just still doing videos and helping people learn how to play is very fun for us. So
well, and I want to go back just a couple of steps with you and ask you, how was that game at the convention, your very first convention game running? How did that go?
You know, it went much better than I thought. I think it's a little scary not knowing what you're getting into. So I actually ran games. It was a 3-day convention and I ran games every day. Wow. Yeah, I just went all in for it. You know, I was like, I will be there. I think the main thing was a little bit of imposter syndrome. And I like to dress up. So of course I'm the dorky, like one day I was one of my characters, a drow fighter. So I had a blonde wig on and like black armor and purple contacts and pointy ears. And so it's the classic. I'm like, we're going to give them the full experience. And I think it was that imposter syndrome of, can I really do this? Are people going to enjoy my storytelling? Am I going to provide this amazing experience, you know, in an hour? And, you know, I think most of them did. I think it once you, when, I think once you start the game, it just, it's like riding a bike. It's just, you get going. So overall, it was, I was a little afraid of being maybe called out, you know, just in the sense of, oh, well, that's not how we do it. I had players that played 3.5 and they said, oh, we're fine with 5e. And they were amazing. And someone played Pathfinder. I'm like, what are you doing here? We don't have Pathfinder. And they said, well, we want to play. And so it's just amazing. I have yet in the D&D community to find people who are just kind and everyone just wants to have a good time for the most part. So yeah, I think it was just getting over that imposter syndrome and then just having a good time with people who love this as much as you, you know?
That's wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that. And most of the gaming community is very supportive. They're very helpful. They're quick to share their advice and their tips. Great to hear you went to this gaming convention. You were welcomed and your players had a wonderful time. And running games the whole weekend long, that is a Herculean feat for even experienced Dungeon Masters. So I got to tip my hat to you on that one.
Thanks.
So I run Dungeons and Dragons and other tabletop role-playing games online with Start Playing. And so from there, I run games for people, and the same thing as a convention game, when it's online, you don't know who you're getting at the table. You don't know what their expectations are. You don't know what their previous experience with Dungeon Masters are. So they could have had some thespian with all these accents and all these voices and, you know, some Matt Mercer kind of guys who they're playing with before. And you got to follow that up, right? You don't know. So
right.
I think your advice is the best advice. Drop the imposter syndrome. Don't worry about it. Sit down, run the game. There are going to be people who love it and love your style. And there are going to be people who are like, that wasn't my best game ever. Okay. But everyone's almost most of the time going to have an amazing experience. As long as you make it fun and memorable and focus on the players. I think that, and you're fair and consistent, I think people really enjoy it. Haley, what is your advice for people who are intimidated by the books and the rules and all that? How do they get started? We got a lot of folks that are families right now that are listening, and they want to bring it home like you did to their spouses, their friends, and gather around the table. What's your advice?
I think if you are trying to introduce it to people who aren't familiar maybe with TTRPGs at all, I think it would be just to start simple, first of all. I think it would be better for them to have a fun experience than a following the rules experience. And actually, I started, after my husband and I played for a bit, we introduced D&D to my brother, who's a little bit younger than me. He's 9 years younger. And so it was kind of how the same thing of how do you engage, you know, somebody who doesn't know anything. So what we did was I try to just briefly describe. I think character setup was important. So basically, what do you want to do in the game? Do you want to be sneaky? Do you want to do a lot of damage? Do you want to talk to people? Do you want to do magic? Just basics, right? Don't go over the rules. Just basics. And my brother created this funny character, and then basically what I tried to do was take off the burden of the rule. So I described what I was doing with the character sheet, but I filled it out, and then basically we just started playing and just slowly implement elements. Like, here's your d20. Here's what it looks like. This is, you know, I always describe it as fate. So if anything requires chance, I'm going to ask you to roll this dice because you could do really good or really bad. And just kind of baby steps like that. And pretty soon by the end of that first session, if I said to roll something, he knew what that meant. So I think it's just, for me, it's trying to share the magic of the game. So forget about the rules, forget about them understanding every facet. I felt like I had to hold his hand through a lot of it, but he loved his character and the funny things he could do and the funny scenarios I threw at him. And then slowly he got a little bit more into the rules and we made it a little harder. So I think my advice would be just keep it simple, keep it fun. If you are another player or a dungeon master who's more experienced, just focus on guiding them and not saying, I just told you how this thing works. Just focus on one thing. When they understand what a D20 is, then move on to the next thing, you know? So yeah, just keep it simple, keep it fun.
Perfect. I couldn't agree more. Haley, thank you again. Thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you for everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy that you invited me on here, and hopefully all of you listening have a great time with D&D and TTRPGs in general. So,
thank you for joining us on another episode of Raised on D&D Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow on all your favorite apps and social media.